Yeah. Hey. 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 Yo, check it out, yo. This garage sale, all the things I'm letting go. One man's trash is another man's so-and-so. Yeah. Oh no, thought you knew, they don't want nothing new. Give them something that you've been too like. Hand-me-down, it's so handy. But spending money on the latest, so fancy. So manly, look what I get paid for. Could've got it on a low, but I'll pay more. For the minimum wage, yeah, they wage war. It's an Armageddon, cost an arm and a leg. Now you half-stepping, never learned the lesson. In class, why you pay for tuition? Got degrees, but don't got that intuition. The incision, really cutting deeper. The plot thickening, cause you feeling weaker. When they said it was a regular procedure. Either label the sheep or a cheater. Eager to reap what you sow for you. Meet the grim reaper. Ay, 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 ay. Better tone down, they don't want you thinking that. You can make a choice, everybody's sipping that Kool-Aid, now you start feeling trapped. It's a karmic world, we can go tit for tat. Ay, try to do the math, but it won't add. Try to study the science, but they keep rigging the lab. Don't try keeping a tab, it's like trying to take a stab in the dark. You're trained to hit the target, but they move in the mark. So a lot of people not really wanting to start. It's a long journey, hard road. Try to make a change, only change your wardrobe. To fix the program, gotta rewrite the source code. You know, it's like this, yeah.
They try to get me to change who I'm inside. Who I'm inside. They try to make me afraid, but I won't hide. But I won't hide. Sometimes to see the truth, can't use your everybody sipping that Kool-Aid, now you start feeling trapped. It's a karmic world, we could go tit for tat. It's a new world, but you want the old one back. It's a new world, but you wanna go back. It's a new world, but you want that old one back.
No, it's a funny thing, right? Time never stops ticking, man. Yeah, black.
Out the madness, try to imagine. It don't have to be tragic, doesn't take magic. It's a lake in Aspen, or just a fort in aspirin. When it should get erratic, I wish life could be lavish. And love is all we brandish, above all, above average. Only good ish happens. Stop doing damage, arguing semantics. We should just offer answers. How many just offer cancer? Pharmaceutical bonanza, the money pits bananas. Corruption's always rampant. Instead of fostering champions, we dreaming of the Hamptons, Forest Hills in Paris. Is this pretty? Should I wear it? Only happy when they staring. Pretty people, it's apparent to all the heirs and heiresses, supporters and the nemesis. I propose an exodus. Y'all know where the exit is. Slightly to the left of this, it's time for y'all to go. The ugliness is wrong and the goodness is one.
there's a lot to be inspired by, and we can take that inspiration to create something good in the world. Whether being inspired by nature to create closeness with it and a goal to preserve it, or taking life's challenges and molding that adversity into music. Hi, I'm Ryan Funk here with you for another episode of U-Talk. On today's episode, we'll look into these two aspects. We'll start with Ashley from Wild Outside, a program which looks to develop a love for nature and youth. After, we'll speak with Vivek Memmi, a musician who is always looking to create positivity in the world around him.
My name is Ashley Adams, and I am a youth leadership specialist with Wild Outside, and that's under the umbrella of the Canadian Wildlife Federation.
So Wild Outside, looking over the email sent to us by Sam, it's really, really cool. Let's jump right into it. What can you tell me about the Wild Outside program?
So the Wild Outside program is a program for youth 15 to 18. It is aiming to get youth outdoors, learning about conservation, and helping out within the community. So we different volunteer projects and learning about wildlife and nature and lots of variety. And we even do lots of fun different adventures as well.
Yeah, I've seen a number of programs like this. Where I grew up out in Winkler, there's it's called the Discovery Nature Sanctuary. It's just this really small plot of land between a bunch of factories that people fought for to keep it natural. And they've built an outdoor classroom and everything there. And they have, what's it called? I think it's called a Wildlife Blitz every year, where they're just trying to see all the different species and animals out there. So with programs like Wild Outside, I just think it's so important to inspire. When we're looking at it, another part was keeping it no cost and barrier free. Why was that important?
Often it can be a real challenge for people to get outside. It gets them out of their comfort zones. There's the barriers of cost and transportation and equipment. And this gives the opportunity for youth to be able to be part of outdoor experiences without those barriers. It can exclude a lot of people. There's also being able to engage them in these experiences and activities. It's an important part of creating a love for the outdoors and for nature and wildlife alike. Some people might not have the connections of peers and family who are able to go out or who enjoy going out. So this really gives the opportunity to help build a sense of love and a sense of responsibility and learning about the wildlife and the habitats that are out there.
So you've touched on it a little bit. And of course, I have my own personal feelings and thoughts on the matter, but I'd love to hear more about Wild Outside's perspective of, you know, why is it important for us, especially individuals in like a city, to reconnect with nature?
Wild Outside focuses on empowering youth to engage them in community action and outdoor adventures to build that appreciation. And there are wild spaces all over, and even in urban areas. We just may not notice them or may not be as close to them as we might think. It helps to build or helps for them to begin to see themselves as part of a greater whole, to be able to contribute in some sense within their community, within their peer group, within the city, within their province, and beyond.
Allowing humanity to become one with nature again, because at least from what I see in some conversations I have with people, there's often a major disconnect from, you know, the natural order and, you know, what we do in this city. Like, sometimes it's hard. It's like, well, look, we build massive skyscrapers, we have phones, Bluetooth technology and stuff like that. So it's very easy to feel disconnected or feel separated. You know, just finding those small pockets, as you mentioned, here in the city are fantastic. Would I love to see our cities invest more in green spaces? Of course, who wouldn't want that? But there are those really fun little sections, especially if you're down by the river, like head down to the Forks or just...
The Canadian Wildlife Federation, we want to inspire youth and the next generations to be conservationists and naturalists and just really people in general to care about the natural spaces and to see the benefits and the importance of those, and to understand the power of community and volunteering to support that those communities and those habitats and the wildlife that's in them.
How long has this program been? I know it's in, 30-some different cities across Canada. How long has it been here at Winnipeg specifically?
So it started here in Winnipeg in March of 2020.
Wow.
And so we've been building it since then, and it's been lots of youth joining and getting to have those experiences, which has been really amazing.
How did this year go? Now that people are able to go out, gather, and maybe have events and stuff, how did this year look for participation and sort of activities and events?
Lots of youth are looking for those ways to get outdoors, maybe disconnect from the busy of their lives, and to just be able to enjoy being outdoors.
They're hungry for more, right? Yeah. After being locked inside for so long, you just want to go out and do something. And at least my experience when connecting with nature and seeing nature, even just glancing at a tree, just seeing the leaves and the grass, you know, it gives me that dopamine high. Like, it makes me feel better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can tell just in our experiences, we've had youth with give feedback that being able to come out and get outside and to enjoy the time with their peers, learning, connecting outdoors has been a real benefit to them.
You mentioned, you know, inspiring them to get involved in like community events and other sort of projects. And so when we're looking here at Winnipeg, if you're aware of, what are some of those like naturalistic or community projects that people can get involved in?
Sure. So in Winnipeg, we've done lots of great projects. We've cared for pollinator gardens. We've planted native species. We have done tree planting. We have also done different bird surveys. Biodiversity blitzes. So you talked about the blitzes in Winkler. Well, we do that with our youth as well. And a fun example that we've done was we were part of a kestrel nesting box project.
Oh, adorable.
Yeah. So we partnered with a local biologist. He is an expert with owls and other raptor species. So we built the nesting boxes. And then we were able to install them in Assiniboine Park and around the community. And also we were able to observe those. And then once the young were old enough, we were part of watching the banding of those kestrel chicks.
Oh, that's so much fun.
Yes, it was really, really cool to be able to be part of that full cycle and watch it go around the full circle.
That's really fun, getting the kids involved in like the whole life process of that, because then maybe the ownership isn't the right word, but they feel involved.
Yes.
Like it's something that like it's imprinted on them, this whole experience. And hopefully, and I guess that's the hope and the intention, is to inspire them to keep getting involved for doing more sort of events like this, because there's so many really cool conservation efforts here in Manitoba. I think they're called plovers.
Oh, yes.
Or something
like that. Piping plovers.
Yes. How do we continue to inspire people? Because, of course, getting kids involved, getting them excited is going to help. But when we're looking at conservation efforts, how do we make people want to protect things that, you know, maybe there doesn't have to be a disconnect between economic growth and development and the economy versus also protecting things?
Yes. So
I know that's a little bit of a complicated and loaded question.
Yeah, that's an important question. I'm not an expert on economic development, but what I can tell you is that the Canadian Wildlife Federation, they take a balanced approach to conservation guided by the best available science. We engage groups and individuals through educational guided oriented programs and initiatives. We also work with many local partners to conserve wildlife and habitat for the use and enjoyment of all. We also provide our participants with career development opportunities. So if they're interested in those careers, they in the outdoors and conservation, they can continue to explore those opportunities.
Well, that's great. Like, you know, after they've taken part in this program, they've gotten inspired. They have this passion inside of them. Yeah, you want to help foster those opportunities to go further, whether they are individuals that take roles like yourself in inspiring youth or finding new conservation or scientific endeavors to protect nature. Because, yeah, we need more people to be excited to get involved. Sometimes when we're talking from like a media or like television perspective, you know, with the loss of Steve Irwin and everything, I feel like that had a big hit on inspiring kids to go out there. It just left a void, and I don't think it's been filled really.
If we can create those opportunities for youth to learn about, and then it often inspires them to do more. And we at the Canadian Wildlife Federation, we really aim to provide those opportunities for the youth to continue, whether they go into conservation for their careers or they are interested in other careers, but they still hold that love and that passion for the outdoors to whether they volunteer outside of their own working positions, or they are really just care. You know, if they're caring about everything, then about those topics, and
well, maybe they could become the Manitoban Steve Irwin sort of thing.
yeah, absolutely. There's always those opportunities. We have youth that have come from our program. They've gone into university. One, for example, has specifically chosen their path within university because of the program.
That's amazing.
And so they were really inspired to continue that learning and that growth. Mm-hmm.
Looking forward, we want to continue to grow and develop this program and inspire people. What sort of projects or initiatives are kind of coming up, and how can people get involved, whether that is being a volunteer to help support the program or for youth to participate?
We have lots of different activities coming up into the fall and winter, because we run year round. Some of those projects there are a lot of them are still in the works, but different things that we like to do. We like to go ice fishing. When we're out there, we'll invite biologists, experts to come out and talk about those ideas. We also really enjoy bringing out, creating the connection with the land and having Indigenous folks come and to teach about those
incredibly
connections.
Incredibly important part.
Yes, very important.
And then how do people get involved, whether they want to be a volunteer? Parents who are like, oh, I've heard about this program while outside. I'd love to get my child involved and inspire them.
Yeah, so youth age 15 to 18 can go to the wildoutside.ca website. They can register there. And same with the adult volunteers. If they're interested in learning outdoor leadership and the educational aspects of conservation, they can also go to the website and sign up there.
Well, I'd like to leave it on this note. What inspired you to get involved in Wild Outside? That's what I'd like to know.
Well, I have a background in forestry and outdoor adventure education. I was working with forestry previous to this. And when I saw the opportunity that this program was starting, I really wanted to jump on it, because I've worked with youth in the past and I find that it's so energizing and fun to work with youth that they're interested, they're excited, they want to learn. It's just a lot of fun.
Of course. And like, of course, it must be incredibly fulfilling too when you're, you know, providing opportunity for a kid to explore a passion, but also, you know, put those nuggets of inspiration and drive in them to kind of keep things moving forward, whether that would be pursuing an education in conservation or the sciences, or maybe eventually once they get a little older, to become a volunteer themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. We've actually had youth that have aged out of our program and they've come back as adult volunteers, which is really nice. And it is very rewarding to work with them and to see that process and see how they grow and the friendships that they build, and just really just have a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Awesome. And just kind of once again, where can people go to find out more information?
So they can go to wildoutside.ca and all the information is there. You're able to register and get started and join us.
These days I'm so amazed at how much time and how much smoke we blazed. And so now it's who you know when we're running from the streets, running for the blow. Spring is here. Let's go. At the love I gave, the mistakes I made, all in an effort to get paid. Spring is here. Let's go. To get paid. But here, asleep in me, you won't blue sea. It's a felony to set you free. Spring is here. Let's go. Sunday morning,
Thanks, Ryan. Always a pleasure, like you said. So my name is Vivek Memmi. I'm a hip hop artist, but I fuse different genres, different modalities primarily. And I'm an artist on a healing journey. I've gone through an intense health crisis and even still working on it to this day, 8 years deep. But what it has done for me, it has allowed me to connect with more intimate parts of myself and become more compassionate. Like Ryan mentioned, just connecting more with the community and bringing awareness to health, infusing that with art and pushing that forward through different organizations. My own organization, Humble and Hungry, we work with amazing organizations here in Mississauga, like the Mississauga Arts Council, the City of Mississauga. I'm on the Member Advisory Committee for Workman Arts, which is a fantastic organization, which I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And that's it in a nutshell. I just love to heal through art and heal through music and share my story and help people awaken and help people become more aware of themselves, their passions, their ability to heal and help others heal. So there we are.
Yeah. And I think what you're doing is more important than ever, as you know, we're continuing to see people struggling on their own mental health journeys. So seeing someone else who, you know, experiences challenges, but overcoming them, working through them, talking about them, I think it is an inspiration for people to see, you know what? It isn't just all over for me. I can still build a life for myself and achieve my dreams.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the biggest thing is like sometimes when you're in the lowest part, it's hard to want to be out there in the community. And we talked about it before, you know, social media paints that picture of, you know, you need to be doing this for your art or your work. And if you're not on that level, you can't accomplish things. But that's why it's even more important to have these authentic conversations and find people who can relate. So that's where we're at. And it's been amazing and some really big steps since we talked last.
In our last conversation, it was right before you were heading to Mindfest. So why don't you tell me a little bit about how that went and a little bit about what Mindfest is?
So Mindfest is an annual mental health, I guess they call it a fair, but basically they have different panelists that come from different parts of the community. So this mm-hmm. year someone was doing like Qigong, and then they had, it's put on by the Department of Psychology, mm-hmm. Psychiatry from the University of Toronto. So a lot of the people who are leading the conversations and sessions are academics, and they try to include someone with lived experience and someone that can relate to younger audiences, because a lot of the people that came were from high school. But it was funny because I really put together a really nice presentation, and it really helped me to kind of go through everything that I've been through and just bring together my story again in a nice format, mm-hmm. in a shareable way, which is great, because now I can do that in different talks, and I have to another session. But before the session started, it was like this big empty hall, beautiful hall at UFT. It's called Heart House. Not sure if you're familiar with it. Very historic building. Amazing academics and events get put on there. It kind of reminds you of like a Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah. That kind of old style Canadian architecture.
I was just in awe being in the space and honored to be able to speak there. And I remember like putting in so much work, and then moments before, like a couple minutes, it was just me and like maybe like 10 people. But then I promise you, like, and I got the word, it was like, hey, can you just hold on for a sec? we've got like a whole bunch of people coming. I was like, oh, okay, maybe it'll be like another 5 people or something, whatever. All of a sudden, like the floodgates open, and it's just like a full, I guess it must have been a couple classes of high school students.
And wow.
Like 75, 80 people, which was like filled the place up pretty much.
And definitely.
I mean, as a performer, as an artist who loves that stage, it really ignited me. And that gave me the fuel to push on and deliver this amazing talk. That was the event. I got a chance to meet some of the other organizations. I mentioned Workman Arts. They were the ones that provided the opportunity for me to speak, because they work with in conjunction with a lot of organizations here in Toronto. So there was a fair, and I got to meet some other amazing organizations doing work in the mental health field as well.
Not only are you going to this really cool old kind of historic building, so that's an experience in itself, but you know, you get to go and give presentations to these students.
I played some of my music, which was cool, and I think it bridged the gap. I mean, a lot of the high school students, I mean, I know I'm not their brand of hip hop per se, but it was still probably something they could relate to more so than if it was just a pure academic talk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it wasn't the genre of, you know, like the direct genre, at least it's kind of relatable. So, you know, at least they have one ear open versus
exactly
completely being shut out, right? So I think it's being able to try new ways of connecting with people, new ways of connecting with the youth, to you know, bridge that gap. And I've been with my latest couple of releases and things. I've even got another song coming out next week.
Fantastic. So
I've been busy with a lot of that kind of pushing my art forward is more about trying to help people awaken and trying to help people become aware of some of the systems and governing bodies and things like that.
What you're touching on is an important thing to recognize when you're like wanting to give a presentation, that it can't just be how it's been done traditionally. People have changed. People's attention spans have changed. You know, that's in a whole conversation in and of itself. But you need to be able to adjust. You have to be adaptable to be able to get that information out, whether that is, you know, playing music, giving a performance, trying to present things in a more creative way to get that information across is important. How many people go to an important lecture or a class or something, and it's just an incredibly dry, monotone, just mouth garble of information. And, you know, that can be hard to process. Everyone has different learning habits and learning abilities. And sometimes in academics, you know, they have to be able to find that balance and find that flexibility.
Yeah, that's why, I mean, I think one of the things too is just trying to speak about what you know, right? I know my story so well, so why not just dive into it, be vulnerable, push it out, and then just kind of show how it can be applied in other people's lives. Don't push the agenda where like you have to do this, but just give a picture of what's possible, right? And hopefully it inspires. And I got a lot of great feedback after that event. I think it was a really, really great success. And I look forward to more opportunities for that, because it comes natural to me to engage with people, you know? So
the few conversations we've had is your authenticity when talking about things. You're open. You're not afraid to talk about the struggles and challenges that you've had. And I think, especially for youth, they need that vulnerability in order to connect with someone. How many times do you hear those emotional those stories when someone comes down to the high school and they're just kind of like telling you what they think you need to hear, instead of just being open, vulnerable, and just letting people to absorb that moment?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just as we were talking before, I told you today I've got some inflammation. I'm not feeling my best. There's been a lot of transformative energies that have just like I've been feeling them, and I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed a bit, you know, and it's just something that by stating that it already feels inside. Okay, now I know I don't have these expectations on me. We can just proceed in a natural way where they see me for where I'm at. And it also helps to connect with awesome people like you, Ryan.
Appreciate it.
you know, and surround yourself with people that get that you know, you might not always be at your best, but you're trying your best. And that's the most important.
And so you mentioned another song on the way. So like, since we last talked, that'll be like three new songs. What is it? Find My Own Way that you released back in May, and Garage Sale that came out just a little while ago. So how about we talk about those past releases and this upcoming one, and just a little bit about the process and things you've been thinking about to put into these different pieces?
Those first two tracks you mentioned, so Find My Own Way, I think I released just after our last talk, and I released it just after Mindfest. Originally, I was going to do, you might recall, I was working on the Relationships EP, putting things out. And I am going to...
Great music video, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to be... And speaking of that, listeners, and I'll send you the link too. I've got an alternate music video to the Around Your Finger.
Ooh.
that I'm going to be releasing in December, but kind of as a way to engage, build up some of my socials, my YouTube numbers. If people follow me or subscribe to my newsletter, I'm going to give them early access to the Around Your Finger alternate Ooh. Music video, which is really, it's a unique piece. So if you think about it, I'll just give you a little taste because you're my boy, Ryan. So it's like everything was done on green screen for the Around Your Finger, right?
Yeah.
So it's basically, you might have seen some of these other artists who do these behind the scenes takes. So it's one full take of the music video, me against the green screen, but like the videographer is going through the whole set, seeing all the other people who are involved there. Like there's a screen there. So you see the set, you see me, and it's a cool.
That's fun.
So it's for the fans. It's for people. But getting back to your question, I took a break from releasing Relationships just because I was again, overwhelmed and feeling a lot.
Hey, sometimes that happens.
The cool thing about being an independent artist, Ryan, is like, if I'm saying, okay, wait, this project that I know I'm on schedule releasing it, it's got its place. Again, coming back to that authenticity and vulnerability, I told everyone on my socials and stuff, it's like, okay, I'm actually feeling some things about my intimate relationships. I think it's actually going to benefit the project in the whole at the end of it, because I have a couple more tracks that I'm rolling out. But I need some space to just kind of let this unfold and focus my energy on other projects. And I was also seeing that, again, the way things were happening in the world, I wanted to, and when I feel that kind of sense of within me, it's hip hop is more of that kind of advocating, more intense kind of delivering a message that way. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Relationships is a little bit more experimental, and it's nice and gentle in a lot more ways. When you want to deliver a message, you kind of make a stand, right? If you think about hip hop from the old school days, it's about kind of making a stand, voicing the hardships that people felt, you know, social, economic, political kind of views, and just being like, so there's that element, that revolutionary kind of feel. So I was like, okay, I'm feeling these things. I need to communicate them in hip hop. And that's where Find My Own Way came from, is trying to tell people you can find your own way amongst all, whether it's health or outside forces trying to push on you. And that's an extension of another song like Rubik's Cube, but it's more updated, more current. And then Garage Sale takes that even further. During this pandemic, I've seen a lot of people question not just my beliefs, but people. So I chose not to get vaccinated. I got a lot of pushback from people, and even in my closest circle, I saw effects that the vaccines had on people. Not saying one way is right or one way is wrong. My belief always is tune into yourself, tune into your body, tune into what feels right for you. And that's how you should come up with your decision.
Yeah, it became a very divisive and politicized topic.
And so that's where it started. That's where garage sale started, is from that, oh, you have to do this way, you know, mandates. And then it kind of turned into this anti-capitalistic kind of thing. It kind of grew from there. And then combining elements of Find My Own Way and Rubik's Cube, where it's kind of about helping people awaken and mm-hmm. learning that you can make decisions for yourself. Just be aware where you're putting your energy, who you're giving your energy, what are your beliefs around what it is you want to attract, how you want to live your life. Nothing is, like I said, nothing is right or wrong. It's about becoming more certain and authentic and real with your own experience. So yeah, that's where it started in Garage Sale. Some people are saying that's one of my best songs yet, just because, you know, where everything was very personal, my songs, that one's a little bit more applicable and more mm-hmm. widespreading. And even in the music video, it's super trippy and wild, but it has themes that spread out a little bit more than anything else I've done, you know?
It's just taking an overview of what you've been talking about there, about the creative process. I think it's for a lot of people who are, you know, trying to explore creative ideas or hobbies or things. As you're mentioning, you weren't necessarily feeling a tug for the relationships at the time, deciding to take a step back to pursue something else that you're feeling very passionate about. I think that's incredibly important for people in the creative fields or people trying to explore a creative aspect of themselves, to allow yourself to take that step back. Of course, being an independent really helps with that. If you're under a label or something, you know, sometimes deadlines and things you're kind of stuck with there. But, you know, if you're trying out something for the first time or you're exploring a new hobby, like, it's okay to feel dispassionate about something for a moment and take a break and try something new. You never know when creativity will come back.
Absolutely. I think it's about trying different things, right? As you said, being an independent, I can try different things, and I never try to limit myself from that standpoint. So that's the cool thing about those two tracks. And then I was kind of brewing on, well, I had a goal, and you do want to keep mind of your goals. You don't want to just be too loosey-goosey.
Yes, there's a good balance there.
Kind of find that sweet spot. For instance, which is a great, you know, segue to this next track, is I had a goal this year that I wanted to put out 4 songs, right? If I had my way, I would have done it 6 songs, but I also produced a festival in there, and I did that Mindfest talk. So I was busy this year, you know? So I wanted to put out the four tracks. And, you know, I hear things about, especially in terms of algorithmic things and getting in feeds, and you want to be consistent as much as you can with your release. Again, I have health blips that come up here and there, you know, that trumps everything. But at the end of the day, so I was like, okay, I have 4 songs that I want to do. Garage Sale came out late October. That gave me a window. I was like, well, I don't want to release anything around Christmas time, because I'm not a Christmas music kind of, like, bless everyone who is, but I don't.
And you're competing with so much at that time for people's attention.
Exactly. Like, I'm just like, okay, so I had a window. I'm like, I had this song from 2016 that I wrote as soon as I was getting, like, the first time I recovered from, like, in the intensity of my first health crisis. And it was just so raw and so energized. And it was like a very, like, something you'd hear in a gym or like a fighting boxing.
Yeah, kind of.
And I was like, so I decided to speed it up. I decided to tweak a few things, pitch it up. I got my mixing and mastering guy to do that for me. And I revisited it, and I was like, oh my gosh, this fits exactly how I'm feeling, how the direction of these other songs. And I'm putting this thing out regardless. And I updated the cover work and cleaned it up. Like, I never put it out in 2016. You know, it's a little raw, but at the same time, I think it's amazing. And that's coming out next week on November 23rd. It's called Myself.
Yeah, you were talking, you know, you've brought it up a couple of times. The festival, Humble and Hungry Music Festival, you know, what was that experience like putting that together and kind of creating this event?
You know what? I'm still unpacking it because it was I wore so many hats. I don't think I'd be able to do that again. And
learned now that, hey, this is too much for one person. And I think that's part of the learning experience. You find out, okay, that's too much responsibility. Maybe in the future, you can split that amongst some other people to make it a little bit easier.
Yeah. And I do have a team who's awesome and they helped as much as they can. They have full-time jobs. So what can you really expect at that point, right? Speaking of which, though, they stepped up day of. Like, one of my friends was a host. One of my friends was, you know, helping me load in, load out. Everyone helped with that, so I can't complain about that. There was tons of support, and shout outs to all of them. And I do appreciate like the Humble and Hungry team. It's just I think it's also a bit of my nature to want to control a lot. And so I did the social media, and that for me was the biggest challenge and drain, because not only am I doing Vivek Memi's social media, I'm doing Humble and Hungry social media, and it's Humble and Hungry social media every day leading up to the event. So for like 30 days straight, and it's just like, whoa, like what kind of reality am I living in? And so social media, artist booking, partnerships, sponsorships, venues, technicians, like You get where I'm going with it all, right? And so it was amazing. I don't want to detract or take away from the experience, because everyone involved got some healing, whether you're a participant, whether you're a sponsor, partner, everyone got love. That was great. The thing I think, again, live and learn, it was during a time that there was a lot of competition. Here in Toronto, the CNE was just opening, the Canadian National Exhibition. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of not as well received or as attended as I would have liked. But I'm not taking away from the fact that it was an amazing experience. Everyone got healing. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of crazy for me on a personal note. I had some family situations. I had to take a member to the emergency room that day of the day-long festival.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and that happened like last year too. So 3 a.m., and I was completely shot emotionally. I didn't even want to go on stage, but thankfully I had another person who was part of the Humble and Hungry. And like I said, everyone stepped up from Humble and Hungry, and I had an energy healer who's a really close friend of mine. Grounded me. We had an emotional crying session. We were both like a mom bawling. And then I was able to do it, man. And I just so thankful, you know, I can't believe I got through it and it happened the way it did, but things happen like that.
Sometimes life just comes in and it punches you in the gut.
I mean, yeah, it's hard to, looking back, I just don't understand how it happened like that, but sometimes forces out of our control and it challenges you to take your strength to the next level and challenges you to tap into reserves that you didn't even know you had. And I was pretty much MIA for a month after, because that issue with
it's just so much of a drain, right?
So I'm kind of reassessing, and it's nice that we're talking about it, because I think, you know, for the foreseeable future, I want to take on a little bit more manageable, get some more collaboration, align with energies and people that understand and can take some of those things off my plate, break it down into nothing. Every time you do something, it doesn't have to be a festival. Right. You can have like little breakout rooms. You can have small meet and greets and meetup events. One of the things I've been toying with is kind of trying to bring together artists to do like a songwriting camp or something. Ooh. And then also have a mental health component to it, where there's like a sharing circle and being like, because let's be real. If we connect on that emotional level, if we're vulnerable connecting on that level, imagine how much better the art will be. I've got ideas, my friend. So, yeah.
Well, yeah. Like at that point, the emotions are raw, they're real. You might come to terms or understand something a little better in those moments that you can address. And through that, yeah, the art can take on another level.
Exciting things kind of brewing in my head, but I'm still trying to release things of my own. So it's kind of that balance of what can I feed myself? What can I feed others? Since I have this kind of like going through a belt right now, I just need to kind of honor that. And then as things clear up, as they will, and hopefully a couple of weeks, then I can start planning some things. But I've been trying to get out there in the community, checking out other artists, checking out other promoters and event producers, building with them. I just want to feel people's energies and see what's possible.
Vivek, absolute pleasure again connecting with you, talking about you, and learning about your experiences and what's going on. And I think the theme of this episode is clear. It's about finding balance in life and in self.
I think that's a key thing right now, is finding that balance and just awakening to your own thoughts and feelings and tapping into that. So yeah, mm-hmm. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much, Ryan, for the opportunity to connect. And I look forward to more and pushing things forward, right?
Of course. Where can people go to find out more about yourself and catch your latest releases?
Yeah, so I'm on all streaming platforms, all social platforms. So it's at Vivek Memhi, V-I-V-E-K-M-E-H-M-I. And then, of course, vivekmemhi.com is the hub that you can get all the videos, learn about my story. And yeah, I would love to connect with you either through newsletter, social media, or feel free to email me, vivekmemhi@gmail.com. And that's it.
Hey, thanks for listening. Make sure you tune in to 101.5 FM every Tuesday at 1 p.m. for more stories from your community. I'm Ryan Funk. This was U Talk. And have yourself a good one.